Now, if you take a look at the title for today's message, you'll notice it's called Brutally Honest Prayer. Ooh, say, Rich, what kind of title is that? I don't know about you, but I have had one week. Oh, which reminds me of this one guy. He gets up in the morning. He really doesn't want to get out of bed. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. Come Friday, it's kind of like that too, right? He gets up in the morning. He goes to his mother and says, Mom, I don't want to go to school today. All the kids are mean to me. They're always picking on me. The teachers hate me. I just can't do anything right. And his mother says to him, Son, you really have to go to school today. I know it's tough, but you really got to keep going. Besides, you're the principal. Believe me, if you ask Albert, I'm sure that he probably has days like that too. This week was one of those weeks. Now, when I have weeks like that, I do find that there is a lot of things that I can find from the Bible that help me not necessarily understand, but just gives me some degree of encouragement on how to make it through. And one of the areas that I find most helpful happen to be the Psalms. Now, some of you may say, the Psalms are my favorite books. Anybody feel like that? Yeah, some of you do. And they've got a lot of good in them, like Psalm 23. Probably the best loved psalm out of them all. Psalm 19, which is a psalm of praise. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies the work of His hand. And then Psalm 100, which is what we sang today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? And when we look at these psalms, we think, oh, when we pray, everything should be nice. We should be nice in our prayers. We should come before God with our prayers and thanks and petitions. And that is so. But to tell you the truth, there are times when we don't want to be nice. There are things that happen in our lives that we just don't like. Things are unfair. Things are unjust. There are times when we just want to get mad. At my early days at KIU Academy, we were making some big changes. And I was really fighting with the establishment there. There are times after board meetings, I would go home. I would walk through the rice fields, and I would look up to the sky and say, God, why are you letting this happen to me? I just got really, really mad, and I just yelled at God. I said, what? Rich, you are yelling at God? Okay. But to tell you the truth, sometimes there are just going to be times like that. Someone has said something unkind to you, or has been talking about you, gossiping. There might have been times when you were expecting a promotion in your job and somebody else got it instead of you. There are times when you were a Christian, when you became a Christian, and your family didn't want to have anything more to do with you. There was probably even a time when you told a coworker or a fellow student at school about Jesus, and all they did was laugh at you. And since then, they have made your life very, very hard. Has any of this ever happened to you? Yeah. And so the list just keeps going on and on and on. But there seems to be some idea that we can't complain to God. We're supposed to come before Him with reverence and fear. Well, yeah, that's true. We're supposed to humble ourselves before Him. Yeah, that's also true. But we're supposed to come before Him honestly. And sometimes that's not nice. We have to tell Him about how we really feel. We want to complain. OK? Okay? We want to say, that's not fair. We want to say, that's not right. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that we're not supposed to complain. So what do? Well, to tell you the truth, we can complain to God. Many well-known people in the Bible complain to God. Moses, in Exodus chapter 5, complains to God. He says, God, you gave all these people to me. You let all these bad things happen. And things are going from bad to worse. And you're not doing anything about it. That's my paraphrase, okay? That's not exactly what Moses said, okay? But if you want to look, it's in Exodus chapter 5. It's a big complaint from Moses. Elijah also complained to God. If you remember, after his victory against the prophets of Baal, Jezebel was going to kill him, so he runs away. And so Elijah complains to God, God, I'm the only one who's doing anything right. God later tells him, well, no, you're not. Okay? And then Jeremiah. How many of you have ever read the book of Jeremiah? It's a... yeah. Let me just kind of read this passage for you, okay? This is found in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah says this, okay? Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns that the Lord overthrows without pity. And he goes on and on, basically saying, I wish I had never been born. Okay? So, these great people of the Bible complained to God. Now, the idea of Psalm 69 is that David is complaining to God. He wrote this at a time when he was having some real troubles. We don't know what the troubles were, but we know that it was pretty serious. He earnestly asks God, he begs him and says, God, get me out of this. He asks God not just to judge those who are his enemies, but he says, God, take care of them. But he always finishes by joyfully praising God, believing that God will help him in the end and bring relief. Now, it's kind of a long psalm, but I do want to go ahead and read it. Okay, so you can follow along up here on the overhead, or if you have your own Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 69. Okay, and let's go ahead and read it. To the choir master, according to the lilies of David, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I seek in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? Oh God, you know my folly. The wrongs that I've done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O Lord God of hosts. Let those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But As for me, my prayer is for you, is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies.
There we go.
You know my reproach and my shame and dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount pain for those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of your book or of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of the Lord with song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offsprings of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Whew. Sorry, I kind of get excited a little bit. If we take a look at verses 1, 2, and 3, we see that David is drowning with this problem. Can you get the next slide, please? Okay. What it means is that he's had it up to here. Okay? Now, he has been calling to God for help and has not been rescued yet. We don't know how long he has been asking God to save him, but it must have been long enough for him to start weakening. His resolve for God's deliverance is starting to dissolve. Have you ever felt like this? Maybe you have a family situation. How long has your family been attacking you? How long has your family been arguing with you over an issue? Maybe you have a work or school situation. How long have you been facing challenges at work or at school? How long have you been asking God to make things easier for you, but just things don't seem to be getting any better? Maybe how long have you been looking for a job and one doesn't seem to be coming? Financial situations. How many of you have been living from paycheck to paycheck? Even though you've been saving money, it just doesn't seem to be enough. Are you ready to throw in the towel? How many of you ever heard that expression? Okay. It's a boxing term. It means that when the boxers are fighting and one of them is getting beaten so badly, his manager takes the towel and throws it into the ring. And that means that he's given up. Sometimes it seems like we just pray and pray and pray, but God is silent. There is no answer. And we're ready to give up. Now, from the next passages, from from 69 verses 4 through 12, we have an idea of what David's problem is. He has enemies. Now, We don't know why these people are attacking David. And the problem is, neither does David. Sometimes we have people that are attacking us and we don't know what we did wrong. In high school, there was this guy named Mike Smith. Okay, I was about this tall. He was about this tall. His arms were like this big. I said, "Hi." He says, "I want to kill you." Okay. So needless to say, he was my enemy. And I never, as far as I know, I never did anything to him. All through my senior year, I kept looking, watching for him, seeing if he was really going to do what he said he was going to do. But as you can tell, he didn't. I'm here. Okay. David says that he had actually sinned against his enemies. Then he could understand why they hated him. If that were the case, he could deal with it. He also knows that God would know about it and would help him deal with it too. But not only is David concerned about having not sinned, he wants to be sure that if he has sinned, that it's not causing others who believe in God to sin also. He doesn't want it to affect the reputation of others who are believing in God too. And in many respects, when we sin, when we think about sinning, and we think about how it's going to affect how God looks to people, and how it's going to affect how people look at other Christians, should really be a good reason for us not to sin. Now we go on to see. Not only does he have enemies, but it seems like his family is also ignoring him. His family doesn't want to get involved. They're ignoring him. They've turned away from him. Okay? Have you ever had that? Have you ever had your family ignore you? Turn away from you? Not want to have anything to do with you? In many respects, it makes the suffering more unbearable because those who are closest to us should be the ones to help us. Is a member of the family of God. We often don't have to worry about being turned away. But to tell you the truth, in many respects, even those of us in the family of God can't always help. In many ways, this section of Scripture is a lot like, next one, is a lot like what Jesus had gone through. Do one more? Jesus did not do anything wrong, and yet he had enemies. His family not only ignored him, but they made fun of him too. Because he was obedient to God the Father, he was ridiculed, they brought contempt upon him, and they insulted him. And it's most obvious by what happened to him on the cross. Not a pretty picture. But the thing is, because Jesus had gone through all of these too, he knows exactly how we feel. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." He knows exactly what you've gone through because he went through it too. And because he is willing to help us. And so we see in the next set of verses that David is asking God to save him. His words are very strong. He's saying, "Deliver me! Answer me! Don't hide from me! Hurry up! Answer me! come here and rescue me for crying out loud. Sorry, David didn't say that. I said that. Okay, it's a paraphrase. But all of these paint a picture of great desperation and despair. David has experienced God's faithfulness. And that's why he can do this. He's experienced God's mercy many times before, and he's counting on him to save him again. It is on God's character that David is trusting. In the darkest times, that's what we can count on. There are times when there are things that we don't know what to hold on to. But with God, there are at least these three things we should remember. God is good. God cares for us. And God will do what He will for our good and His glory. Well, David goes on to say how bad things are. God has seen all of this, but David is kind of telling him again, says, you know, I think I've had enough. If you wouldn't mind coming in and stepping in, that would be wonderful. David goes on to say, this is what they've done to me. They've insulted me. They have mocked me. They have disgraced me. And I haven't even done anything to them. Most of all, you know who they are. Take care of them. Now, as we look at all of this, we come down to the part, which is what I call a very brutal prayer. The way that David is praying in this section in verses 21 through 28 is in great contrast to how Jesus wants us to pray for our enemies. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." David didn't hear that. Instead, David starts off by complaining. And he complains big time. He hasn't got any sort of relief, especially from his enemies. Well, that's a atarimai. I mean, that's what we would figure. His enemies aren't going to help him. But that sets him up for his raging. He starts really getting at him now. If you read this section here, and please be sure you do later. If you read this section, you'll see that this is not a nice prayer. He goes on to say, when he talks about their table, in a way of saying, as they refuse food for a hungry man, so will it happen, make it happen to them. If they are kind of being nice and peaceful, trap them. Let unexpected things happen to them and make it hurt real bad. He goes on to say, darken their eyes so they can't see. And it means so they can't make good decisions. Makes them walk around like they don't know where to go. Make them always afraid. Now, have you ever thought about that, about people who are against you? I'm going to ask you to be honest about this. How many of you have ever felt this way? Okay, I see a few hands, okay? I have. In that when people are coming against you, we want to say, get them! And make all sorts of bad things happen to them. The thing that David goes on to say, he says, pour out your indignation upon them. He says, just, I can't think of it for lack of a better word in English, butts at him. Sorry, that's Japanese. Huh? Really, just take care of them. He even goes on to say, erase their names from the book of life. Whoa, that's pretty serious. Okay? Don't let them even be with those who are right. You know, he's saying, excuse me for saying this, he's saying, send them to hell. He is so mad and so upset. But as we think about this, as he thinks about as he thinks about what he's done. And as we look at what he's done, we think about Jesus had every right to say the same thing. Jesus had enemy upon enemy. And as we do have these times where we want to ask God to take care of our enemies, we need to remember that Jesus came for them too. Jesus came to save the world and not to condemn it. And that, yes, he died for us, but he also died for them. Now, when we think about all of this, there's a lot of prophecy that was written in the Psalms. Some commentators look at these verses and see it as a prophecy against Jerusalem. Paul refers to verses 22 and 23 in Romans chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And he goes on to say that these are the things that have happened to them because of their rejection of the Messiah. Because they did not accept Jesus as their Messiah. All of the things that David wrote about in Psalm 69 happened. Jerusalem, the city, was destroyed. The governing body, their eyes were darkened. They could no longer make decisions. They were sent out from their homeland and scattered to other places. Now, with all of this, with all of this brutal praying, we have to remember one thing. When we complain to God, we give up every right to take revenge against our enemies. We give up every right to complain to other people about our enemies. When we're asking God and we're pouring out all of how we feel about what's happening, we are giving everything to Him. Now please listen to that one more time. If you're going through a troubling time right now, and you have people or situations that are against you right now. Now, it may not necessarily be people. But if you have a situation that's happening against you right now, complain to God. Tell Him how you really feel. Because once you do that, you no longer have to complain to anybody else. You can talk to other people about it, asking them to pray for you about it. You can ask your pastoral assistants to pray for you about it. But you have given up your right to complain about it anymore. Knowing that God is going to take care of it. Now you think about this. The last time you were mad, modern day psychologist says, let your anger come out. And in one respect, there is some truth to that. But the thing that you have to be careful of, the Bible says it's okay to be angry. Don't sin. Don't sin with your mouth. Don't sin with your mind. Don't sin with your actions. Okay? So it's okay to be angry. So David has done all this complaining to God. And we see in the next verses, from verse 29, his attitude changes. He seems to realize that he's given it all to him. And so, he has all of these things. He recognizes that God, in his righteousness, will be able to help him. He knows that God is the one who's going to save him. And we see that in respect, he is giving thanks to God for his salvation before it happens. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we are to pray all the time. We are to rejoice all the time. And we are to be thankful all the time because it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Now the other thing too is that when we have given up our right to complain, other believers see us and say, wow, if you can do it, I can do it too. Now you think about this. When we are persecuted for our faith, Jesus says, don't be surprised. That's what's going to happen. And you think about, of all the people that are being persecuted right now, there are a segment of Christians that are called the persecuted church. These are Christians in countries where being a Christian is generally outlawed. Despite the persecution, they know that salvation is going to come from God. Now, some of you come from countries where being a Christian is against the law. Some of you come from countries where the governments are persecuting Christians left and right. But the thing is that despite this persecution, what's happening to the number of believers in those places? It's going up. And that's because the people there understand that God is with them and they must trust in Him every day. They must rely upon Him to help Him through. Just kind of an added note. Next Sunday, in addition to being the children's blessing, is also the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. For those of you who come from countries in which Christians are being persecuted, you can pray for your brothers and sisters there. For those of you who don't know, go on to the internet and type in persecuted church, and you'll be able to find what countries are persecuting Christians very, very heavily. But you might want to think about next Sunday, praying for those in those countries who are being persecuted for their faith. Here in Japan, we're really not persecuted at all. And in many respects, we see numbers staying the same, not going up. You think about, wow, persecution. Anybody want to be persecuted? No, me either. Okay. But there is a great joy in knowing that when we face troubles, God is with us. Now we finish up here. In verses 34 and 36, David has done a complete turnaround. He says, God, I'm tired. And then he comes and finishes up saying, praise you. The image of creation praising God for his faithfulness, for his goodness, his love and mercy and grace, is a continued acknowledgement that he's with us, that he has created us. And so it's a complete turnaround to what he was having before. But again, just like many of the other Psalms, we see that in respect, this is also a prophecy. The church is often referred to as Zion in the Bible. And in this, it talks about how we, as the children of God, will be with God forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of an exciting thing to think about. So let's wrap this up. We may be in trouble and have constantly asked God to help us, but it seems that help is pretty slow in coming. The source of our troubles may be our enemies, family that doesn't want to get involved, or any other situation. We can ask God, we can complain to God and ask Him to help us because we remember how He has been faithful before. We may want bad things to happen to our enemies, We may want to repay them for the things that they've done against us. But when we ask God to take care of them, we release any right we have to do that. And we can praise God ahead of time for His faithfulness, saving us, and with an attitude of encouragement reflected to others. So, when we think about all of these things, let's keep in mind that God is good. He knows what you're going through, and He can help you. But He's saying, trust me. I will be there for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I recognize that there are things that people are going through. Each one of us have had difficult situations. Yet You have helped us before, and we know that You can help us now. Father, You know that there are people who are struggling with finances or job situations or lack of job situations. And they've been at it for a long time and just can't see any help coming. Father, please help them. Father, there are those who may be being bullied at school, who are just being picked on and bullied at work even. They may want You to take care of their enemies, Lord. But Father, please encourage them, reminding them that You love them, You know what they're going through, and that You can help them at just the right time. Father, thank You that we can come to You. Thank You that we can complain to You. Thank You, Father, that when we don't think things are right or fair, that we can bring them before the cross, knowing that You'll take care of them. We give You all the praise and glory and thanks, and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.